Welcome to the Bullets and Bourbon Podcast, where it's not about the bourbon, but more about who you share it with.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Bullets and Bourbon, episode 12. And you know what? Tonight this is our whiskey heavy episode, right, Dan?
It's supposed to be whiskey heavy, yeah. But
you know, we'll hit on whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. We are admittedly still recovering from last weekend, I would say.
Yeah.
To a certain degree.
I think nobody wanted to look at bourbon all week long.
Which is a rarity.
Yeah.
I mean, usually, you know, usually we do something on Friday night. We do our podcast Friday or Saturday, and, you know, we have a poor Sunday. Maybe we take Monday off to help the liver recover a little bit, and then we're back on the wagon. But it was a rough recovery period, wasn't it?
That's a good weekend.
Yes,
it was. You know it was a good weekend.
Yeah, about last night, which was our last podcast, was there couldn't have been a better name for it because it we tore one open.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we really did justice on it.
I definitely got some feedback from that podcast. People said we could tell you were hungover.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we were all a little bit hurting.
Yeah.
I mean, and anytime you saw Jennifer awake past
Oh, don't say nothing, because I got in trouble for that one.
Yeah, she was not happy about that. But, I mean, listen, you know, back in the day, she could tie one on and hold on to it, but it was a rough Saturday morning. But, you know, we're back, and yeah, we're going to hit up the Whiskey Wednesday, hump day for everybody out there. We're almost to the weekend, so God bless for that, right? I mean, you know, what more could you ask for? So We really have two whiskeys we're going to talk about on this, you know, kind of whiskey-heavy episode. The first one we had before, you know, we jumped on the podcast, and the second one we have in our cups right now. So to start it off, you know, let's get down to it. I poured you one. I don't think you'd had this one before. Bardstown Bourbon Company Origin Series, bottled in bond, 100 proof. You've had other Bardstown Bourbon Companies before, and you know it's one that I kind of like a lot.
Yeah, that was one when you came back from Kentucky probably 2 years ago. You brought me back two bottles, yeah. And they went pretty quick.
Yeah. So for those out there that have never had Bardstown Bourbon Company before, they have a couple of really cool things going on. They do their own, I'd say their own, but they're basically their Origin Series, which is their own whiskey. They also are heavy into blending and going out and picking certain whiskeys out and kind of putting them together. And that's their fusion. And then they have a fusion series, which is like a blend of a bunch of different ones. Or they finish them in Cabernet barrels or port barrels or whatever. And I have really fallen in love with their lineup all the way up and down. I have not had one yet that I just haven't jumped, you know, over the moon for. This one is their bottle and bond. It checks in at 100 proof. And it is a really flavorful bottle. And to be honest, we probably wouldn't have touched this tonight if it wasn't for the fact that I kind of screwed up when I ordered some bottles recently.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, so I thought I was getting a different Bardstown. This is what happens when you drink and order whiskey. Sometimes you make mistakes. This isn't a bad mistake. It's just a mistake that my credit card's going to pay for.
Well, I think it's hard. When you have a collection as deep as yours with as many selections, you know, unless you're looking at your spreadsheets and everything else, you're going to buy duplicates.
Yeah. I mean, it happens, and I'll never get upset when I have a duplicate of something that I like a lot. This one in particular checks in, like I said, 100 proof. It's a really, really balanced whiskey. It's delicious to enjoy. Heavy caramel on the nose, baking spices, some dark fruits on the nose. The body, the palate, and the mouthfeel are very enjoyable. I get a little fig, which I've never heard anybody else say that they've gotten fig from, so I just may have a backwards palate. But I will say that coming into this fresh from not having anything for the last, I don't know, since Saturday.
Yeah.
I felt like it was a good opportunity to try these two particular whiskeys that we're going to showcase and kind of give them a fair shake. And this didn't disappoint. I still got the fig, some dark cherry. The hug on it is I'd say appropriate. What I mean by appropriate, it's not a low proof hug. And it's not an overproofed hug, not a 110 plus proof hug. It's a very balanced hug, an all-around just really great sipper to enjoy. And because I have a backup bottle, we're already 3/4 of the way through this other bottle, so we did it pretty good.
Oh yeah, yeah. So, I like how I say small pour, and I end up with a large pour.
Well, you said small pour for the Bardstown, not for the other whiskey that we're going to talk about. I didn't hear you didn't call that out. So
yeah, but with the Bardstown, you gave me a large pour.
Well, if I put an ice cube in there, it would be different. So this is just minus the ice cube. So,
okay.
I mean, so what did you think of the Bardstown? You had that. You nursed it pretty good.
I nursed it. I'm still struggling from the weekend. it was good. Very smooth. Like you said, it had that like medium hug. It was there, but it wasn't too harsh. Especially for somebody not wanting to drink in the middle of the week right now.
Still recovering.
You know, once you hit 40, it takes you like a good 4 or 5 days when you tie one on.
Well, I don't know about that, but I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll give you credit where credit's due. What cigar did you have with that as well? Because it smelled delicious. I didn't have one, so.
I had a Caldwell Blind Man's Bluff.
Yeah.
Paired very well. Very enjoyable. Brought the flavors of the cigar out. Maduro, very, very good cigar. They make phenomenal products all the way up and down. That's what I gave your neighbor over the weekend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of their product lines. Definitely enjoyable with the Bardstown.
Yeah. It definitely smelled good. I mean, if I had been a little bit braver, I may have lit one up. Perhaps I should, but I knew we were going to come down, so, you know, I passed stupidly. So.
Yeah.
The second whiskey that we have is a Pennsylvania whiskey. It's called Ponte. And this whiskey is pretty cool. This is out of Somerset, PA. And for those history buffs that are out there, that area of Pennsylvania is really where American whiskey was born. And so what Ponfe has done, I highly encourage you to go to their website, check them out. It's spelled Ponfeigh. I'm horrible at pronouncing stuff, so I may be mispronouncing this, and I hope that they correct me. But this is a really cool distillery. They're reclaiming some of this Pennsylvania heritage, which is just anything with whiskey. When you reclaim the heritage, I feel like it just makes it, I don't know, better. Liberty Pole is an example of that. Just really grabbing on to where it all started, and to understand whiskey is to really understand the American story, because it was a currency. And, you know, American whiskey, Pennsylvania rye, led to Kentucky bourbon, which was a currency that was used all the way down the Mississippi River, and it helped spread the entire, you know, spread through the United States, and that's why it is our spirit.
So with that said, are you waiting for it to go back to currency? Because, I mean, you have enough currency in here to be living pretty fat.
Listen, if we ever have to go, I'm prepared for the apocalypse. I'm betting on the apocalypse at this point. If whiskey ever is a currency, I'm going to do all right. And, you know, I'll have to learn to distill pretty quick.
Yeah.
Thankfully, we have some pretty good distilleries around the area. So, but yeah, I mean, we shall see. So Ponfe out of Somerset, PA. This is called West Lavania Rye, and this is a 90 proof. It's 95% Monongahela Rye. And the Monongahela area is the area that we live in here in the greater Pittsburgh area, all the way kind of towards Somerset, and 5% malted barley. And I got to tell you, when I first heard about this bottle, a couple times it was on Pittsburgh Whiskey Friends, and, you know, I'm wary sometimes about getting local distilleries,
yeah,
you know, unless I hear good things. And everybody said, you got to try Ponfe. You got to try it. And, so I took a leap of faith. I reached out to the distillery. They're really nice to deal with and pointed me in the right direction. Got a bottle ordered, and this does not disappoint. It's to understand rye whiskey, I started off as a Jack drinker, and as a young guy, and then I moved in straight into bourbons. And it wasn't until I met you, and then you introduced me to Burr Rye from High West, which was a mixture of bourbon and rye. And then Jim at Liberty Pole brought me into pot stilled rye, Pennsylvania rye, that I really, ryes are almost, I don't want to say that I like them more, but I love them.
Yeah.
I love rye now. I mean, I will seek out ryes like I seek out bourbon.
But, well, before you even said anything about the profile on this, I've been having a little sip here and there while you were talking.
Okay.
And I was going to guess this was rye right off the bat.
Because of?
I could taste their earthy tones.
Okay.
And a little bit of tobacco in there.
Okay.
But the earth tones is really which lets you know it's a rye.
Yeah. The peppery spice?
Did you pick up
any of that?
I didn't pick up the peppery spice like I normally do with a rye.
Mm-hmm.
But you do taste that earth flavor. A little bit more. I'm tasting tobacco.
Okay.
Like a good, good tobacco taste to it. May just be the cigar I had before we came on, but definitely right off the bat, first sip, I could tell it was rye.
So is it a thumbs up or a thumbs down?
This is one I would like to have another pour this weekend before the podcast with a cigar.
You think it pair well with a good cigar?
Yes, yeah. I definitely think it's going to pair well with a cigar. Yeah. And I got a few in mind. I'm going to look and see if I can find that I think it might pair pretty good with.
While you were setting the equipment and pushing buttons and doing all the technical stuff to get us ready to go, I poured this and I made you drink it neat. And I know that we're not traditionally, I drink scotch neat and I drink high-end whiskey neat initially, then I usually pour it over ice just because both of us, we suffer from heartburn. So it helps a little bit. And this one we poured neat and I started sipping on it and I was blown away. And, initially, the notes I picked up when I nosed it were just baking spice, dark fruits, fig, again in there. I want to say black currant. I don't know if my nose nailed that right. Could be wrong.
That may be what I'm tasting when I said tobacco.
Yeah.
I mean,
definitely on the nose. I mean, if you nose it really heavy, it carries through the palate. The palate had a ton of sugary and peppery rye notes to it. Dark fruits dominated it. There was some vanilla, caramel maybe, and then a kind of a leathery undertone. And I think a lot of times I mix up leather and tobacco.
Okay.
So it could be either or. What I like about this rye though is it has a bit of a hug to it. It's not just a fall off. It just doesn't, you just don't swallow it and it's like, oh, I'm done. It does stay on the palate and it does kind of hang around a little bit and I pick up other flavors. So, a lot of that is I think, you have a fresh palate, you haven't completely contaminated it from days on of drinking like we did Saturday night or Friday night, whatever night it was, because we were hammered. We were hammered bags of ass.
Oh, yeah.
This one originally was supposed to come in, and I was going to do it Friday night. I'm glad it didn't, because I don't think I would have enjoyed it the way I'm enjoying it now. So, hats off to Ponfe. I mean, I tell you what, doing a little background on them, they're building a really state-of-the-art, facility in Somerset, not far from the Turnpike. And I would encourage you if you're a PA resident or if you're the tri-state area, Ohio, West Virginia, Maryland, even because you're kind of near there. The 9/11 Memorial I think is close to Somerset.
Yeah.
So what a wonderful place to stop in and try some amazing liquid. I am going to get my hands on their cast strength because now I am a convert. What they put out was just delicious. This was a great whiskey. And the greatest thing about it is it's available online. And so if you search Ponfe Distillery, Ponfeigh Distillery, and you're interested in trying some real craft, and there's no mystery. You know I love craft.
Yeah.
And I think craft distillers are really, they put their heart and soul into everything. Not to say the big guys don't either. They all do. But, you're trying to scratch out a living.
Yeah.
And this is a wonderful bottle, and I would highly recommend it. It's aged 3 years. It has a little bit of time, and it's delicious. And you can't ask for much more than that out of a good whiskey, and affordable. I will say that. So, those were our two whiskeys: Bar Sound Bourbon Company Origin Series, bottled in bond, 100 proof, and Ponfe West Sylvania Rye, 90 proof. Just two outstanding whiskeys. I mean, what are your overall thoughts on that Ponfe?
Well, like I said, I'm definitely having this again this weekend, pairing it with a cigar.
Gonna sit down and watch some more of that Met Gala you were chit-chatting about earlier.
No, I just find it funny.
The Met Gala?
The Met Gala. You got to call them costumes. It's not fashion. It's 100% costumes. Yeah. If they were fraternity kids, it would be, pimps and hoes gala. It's rich and famous. So we're going to get stupid, deck ourselves out in tons of flowers and the most outrageous $1,000 outfits you can imagine.
Yeah.
And they all look stupid.
Yeah, I can't think of one. Now, I will say that I have a lingering question. Is Rihanna still pregnant?
I have no idea.
Because, come on, Rihanna. I mean, you're Rihanna.
Yeah. I mean, some of the things people were wearing, I was just
ludicrous. Ludicrous.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm not a fashion guy. I mean, by any means.
It looks like a party Kanye threw. You know what I mean? That's some shit you'll see Kanye wearing on a regular basis.
Kanye on meth.
No, not even on meth. It's Kanye being Kanye. You know, he wears whatever he wants. You see these fashion shows, you look around, and you're like, nobody in their right mind is going to wear that out in public, and then here comes Kanye. You know?
So just to prove you wrong, right?
Just to prove you wrong. But then again, the average person, they're not going to spend the thousands of dollars on these outfits.
So what was the theme this year? Because in years past, it's been, everything. Because I remember back to Lady Gaga and the meat dress.
Yeah.
Right?
So this year, I had to look it up. It was Sleeping Beauty and the Awakening.
I can't find Sleeping Beauty. What I see is expensive bullshit.
Yeah.
That's what I see. I don't see Sleeping Beauty. I maxed out my black
card. Well, I think that's why they used so many flowers with the gala. You know what I mean? The go with the Sleeping Beauty where she was laying on the bed of flowers in the Disney movie or cartoon. But it just boggles, absolutely boggles my mind. like
who was the dude in the kilt?
I did not see the guy in the kilt.
The kilt with the girl with the white puffy. It just looked ridiculous.
Well, then the best was, who was the film director that did the Fahrenheit 9/11?
You are asking the wrong human being.
Okay, but you know who I'm talking about.
Yes.
He showed up. He must have thought when it said Met Gala's Mets, because he came in a Mets jersey and some dress pants.
Like he just got confused.
Right? Yeah.
Like he was like, "Fuck it, I'm going to the ball game."
Yeah.
I'm going straight to the gala.
Yeah. that's like, he's a piece of crap, but I mean, that's classic.
So, who was the funniest,
I think they all were. I mean, 100%. I mean, they all look like something from a video game. Like you're making your customizable character.
Yeah.
Let me add this nonsense on. This is something you see your kids dressing up on, like the Fortnite players or something like that. You know what I mean?
Like, create your own character.
Create your own
celebrity.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
This is like, how ridiculous can I get?
Well, who was the girl with the big old angel wings? Wow, I'd love to see the gust of wind just take her ass.
Oh, yeah.
Put her up in the air.
Like I said, they all look like video game players. It almost looked like a Comic-Con. You know what I mean? Let's dress ridiculous.
Yeah.
Go up as our favorite video game character.
But hasn't it gotten like that for all the award shows, pretty much?
Well, it's a fundraiser for the museum in New York.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, they all dress...
Herkader.
Yeah.
They say it like that, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same people that do the cosplay that you would make fun of, but yet...
You can't make fun of them.
But you can't make fun of them.
Yeah, but you can make fun of the dudes that are out in the park, slaying dragons, right?
Yes, exactly.
But it's the same concept.
It's the same exact concept.
Only it's celebrities.
Celebrities, so it's okay.
It's okay when it's celebrities.
Yeah.
So who was the biggest missing person on that Met Gala, in your opinion? I got mine.
I don't know, because I didn't look at the list. I looked at a few of the pictures, laughed, and was like, oh.
T. Swifty, baby.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She's over. The only reason I know that is because I know she's performing in Paris this coming weekend.
Okay.
So,
Okay.
What's a Met Gala without T. Swift?
Well, it was crazy, because you had the...
unless she was there, and I didn't see it, but...
You had a lot of people that had engagements over the weekend that showed up for, which...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hypothetically, if we were ever to make a billion dollars and be celebrities, which this shit will not happen, Could I ever talk you into a meat dress?
No. No. I don't care how much you're going to... I am not going to wear a meat dress.
Listen, if I were to offer you $10 million to put meat on...
Shit.
You would fucking walk in that sumbitch with a goddamn salami sandwich wrapped around your waist.
I would wear a meat Speedo.
You would. I would. Let me tell you something. I do a lot. Yeah, $20, I do a lot.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
$20 is $20.
If it'd be $10 million, I'm liable to get, you know, pretty rowdy. You know, I'm just saying. So... Most ridiculous person that you saw, not necessarily the costume, you know, or whatever they're calling it, the dress, but the celebrity that stood out and kind of made you go, this some bitch.
Okay, only because the roast was the night before. So you know you're looking for Tom Brady and see what Tom Brady's going to do.
El Camacho.
So Tom Brady's looking like Antonio Banderas. And El Gringo Desperado, you know, like what are you? I was waiting for him to bust out a guitar, or Selma Hayek to pop up next to him. You know, it was just, what are you doing, dude?
Yeah, listen.
But I mean, at least he didn't have flowers and all kind of crazy. The design on the jacket was like,
yeah, he just kept it like it was Desperado / Once Upon a Time in Mexico. He was ready to go and El Mariachi it out, right?
Yeah, like the pitcher from the L.A. Dodgers, Kelly. Showing up to the White House with the mariachi jacket, you know what I mean?
I thought you said you look like a white R. Kelly. I was about to die. I was like, damn, that's
nah,
that's
the picture from the Dodgers when they won the World Series and showed up to the White House with the mariachi jacket. I'm like, that's classic.
Yeah, so I looked at that picture, had to look at it again, because, correct me if I'm wrong, that's the second time he's done this, right?
I'm sure he's done it more than twice. I mean, it's
with
every year.
With the same mariachi band uniform, like he just got off of a...
I mean, I'm sorry. If I'm spending money on something, I'm going to get it more than one wear out of it.
Oh, no, listen. Look, I completely agree. I mean, listen, if it had been me, I'd have been up there in some basketball shorts, Crocs, and a freaking jersey.
I'd be wearing that jacket every year for the gala. Hey, I paid, you know.
I'd change my name.
Yeah.
I'd be El Brady.
El Brady.
El Brady. I'm cheap, so.
I mean, I think he got roasted enough Sunday.
yeah, that was heavy-handed.
Oh, yeah.
So, what was your, the Tom Brady roast, for those of you that didn't watch it, and I've watched parts of it, I did not watch all of it because I'm a bum, according to Dan. What was your favorite part of that roast?
So many good ones. Andrew Schultz killed it.
Yeah.
Nikki Glaser, she killed it. The guy that did the podcast, I don't know his name. He absolutely slaughtered everybody. It was good. I was disappointed with a few people, and I'm not going to throw their names out there, but I expected better from a few of the comedians.
You still feel like they fit their kind of way of doing comedy.
Yeah, it didn't fit their way of comedy at all. You could tell it was just like, oh, come on. You could tell they were reading off a teleprompter, and it wasn't their material almost.
Well, and I think it's hard for comedians in general to, you know, when they get put in those forums to kind of have to conform to a set way of doing business, right? You know, especially when they're crowd workers.
Yeah.
You know, and they're good at doing that, and then they get stuck in front of a teleprompter, and they're like, what the fuck, right? Who was the guy that did the Emmys? Ricky...
Gervais.
Yeah. I mean, now... Then you have him.
I would have loved to have seen him Reif.
Yeah, Matt Reif.
Matt Reif would have been great to have.
Yeah, I keep going back to the Grammys or the Emmys. I don't know. I don't pay attention to that dumb crap. But when he kind of went off on the celebrity concept.
Oh, yeah.
He just shred him apart. That was the first time I was like, I want to drink with that dude.
Oh, yeah.
I want to pour a big one with him.
Well, I think he... He either just came out with his own vodka or gin. I don't know which one it was, but he's been promoting something pretty heavy lately.
Well, I get down with gin. Yeah. You know, I mean, I get down with a little dirty gin.
But I want to say it's vodka, though. For some reason, I want to say it's vodka.
I get down with vodka. I mean, I really don't discriminate when it comes to lacca.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I prefer my whiskey, but, I mean, equal opportunists and all. So
The one joke, though, the entire night that I was waiting for and it never came, you know, as bad as they were hammering him on Giselle... You know, just nonstop, every comedian, even Kevin Hart, every Nobody brought up Pete Davidson. But, like, it was all the karate instructor. I'm like, man, you know Pete Davidson like that low-hanging fruit. Oh, you single?
Yeah.
Listen,
Pete Davidson, I can't figure this out, man. I mean, Kate Beckinsale?
Kim Kardashian? Ariel Grande.
Listen, if this dude ain't hung like an elephant, I don't know what's happening in the world. I am so confused. The guy looks like he was hit with a canoe paddle when he was 5 years old.
Yeah, it looks like
multiple times.
Looks like he has Crohn's disease or jaundice. He looks like the dirty kid, but he's crushing it.
I don't know. There is some serious envy because.
Oh yeah, but yeah, I'm a hater, 100%. So I'm 100% hater. I'm like 100%.
Would you drink with Pete Davidson?
Yeah. Yeah, we're guys. We're going to bust each other's balls, but I definitely drink with them.
But Kate Beckinsale.
Kate. Ariana Grande. Rakitic, or whatever her name is,
Kate.
The model.
Kate.
Yeah, I know.
Kate Beckinsale.
I know.
That's the underworld girl.
I know.
That's Kate Beckinsale.
Who's he dating now?
I don't know. Probably Stormy Daniels.
Well, she is in the news.
Yeah. I mean, listen, hats off to Pete Davidson, man. I mean, you're slinging something. I mean.
Let's see. Who's he dating?
Well, I thought it was Aria.
Madeline Klein.
Yeah. I don't know who that is.
I have no idea.
So what would the freak out factor be if he walked into an event with Giselle, and I can't say her last name, but Tom Brady's ex-wife?
Ought to have been so great if he showed up to the roast with her.
You think Tom Brady whip his ass?
No, I think Tom Brady.
I don't think he cares.
You know what? I think that's why they went so hard on that topic because.
He didn't care.
He doesn't care.
Yeah, he stood up for Robert Kraft.
You know, it's like, okay. He was taking it on the chin all day, just like Giselle in karate class. So.
Yeah.
You know, he was a good sport about it.
Yeah. I mean, look, at the end of the day, they're celebrities.
Yeah.
They can get over it.
Yeah, you know? And I'm sure it's not bothering him. I'm sure he's enjoying life to the fullest now.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you're that wealthy and...
You're Tom Brady,
I mean...
Yeah, you walk in, I'm Tom Brady, bitch.
Yeah.
Almost like, what was it, the Dave Chappelle?
I'm Rick James, bitch! I'm Rick James!
Who was the other one? Brady. I can't think of his name.
Not Ben Affleck.
No. I mean, on the Dave Chappelle show. Because you had Rick James and something Brady.
Oh, damn it. The only thing I got in my head right now is Rick James and Darkness.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can consistently think of when it comes to Dave Chappelle, which is probably, I mean, he dominates right now. The comedy world, in my mind.
Wayne Brady, that's what it is.
Wayne Brady, yeah. I mean, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. That was definitely interesting watching them, you know, the Beck Allen and the Tom Brady roast. Wow. I mean, to have that kind of money and that level of stupidity.
What they should do is they should have a Met Gala roast. And just roast everybody as they come through the Met Gala. That is something I would tune in live every year.
How about a cage fight?
Not so much a cage fight.
You wouldn't want to see those ladies cage fighting in those dresses? The girl with the black dress with the 80-foot... What do they call it when it falls behind you? Is it a train? The train part of the dress?
Sounds like you're more into fashion.
Not the train you're thinking of. No, the big... It hits the floor... It was like, it looked like a mop. It was enormous. I don't know. Those random thoughts that we get into after we have a couple glasses of whiskey on it.
Yeah, but I mean a roast. You get somebody like Matt Rife up there.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody who knows how to work a crowd.
You just destroy people as they come up.
Yeah. So for all you listeners, drop your comments in anywhere. Facebook, Instagram, whatever.
And we are on YouTube now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We are on YouTube. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, video to come soon, so you can look at our stupid rear ends as we sit here and look at each other and gaze into our whiskey glasses. Drop your comments. Let us know what your favorite part of the Met Gala, if you watched it, or the
Tom Brady roast.
Yep, the Tom Brady roast. And, you know, as always, you know, we strongly encourage you guys, hit us up with what you want to hear for the midweek and, well, for that matter, any time.
Yeah.
And we will do our best to oblige. We are going to put a poll up for the next week's mid-whiskey review. We're gonna throw up a random four of whiskeys that we know that are pretty easy to get, whether that is through your local liquor stores or through a state store or online, and that are pretty affordable, that we want to see what you want us to review and talk about and give notes on. All four of them are ones that I like and that Dan likes, I think. I think you've had all four of them.
I haven't seen what you pulled yet.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Okay, so I just completely screwed that part up.
Yeah, I have no idea what you pulled, but, you know.
You'll like them.
If you say I'm going to like them, I'm going to like them.
Yeah, just trust me. But we'll get that up and on Facebook and Instagram. So please, you know, give us a like and a follow at Bullets and Bourbon on Instagram. And, you know, we want to try to see what you guys want us to hear. And, hey, listen. You know, if there's something, there's one bottle in there, though, that I will tell you that my wife is going to give me a lot of shit for drinking because it's hers, right? She claims it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to buy her another bottle to satisfy her. But as always, you know, we thank you guys for tuning in for the latest episode. Can't thank you enough for the love and the support and look forward to your comments and, you know, just want to keep bringing you good content as always. You know, we tell you every episode, and we couldn't mean it more, but stay thirsty, my friends. Cheers.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast of Bullets and Bourbon. Remember to like, comment, and subscribe so you never miss an episode.